Your city's a sucker. Your city's a sucker. Your city's a sucker. Your city's a sucker. My city's a creep.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to NoCo Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago and all around the world. I'm Tom Hush.
And I'm Connor Cornelius.
And we're so happy to be back with you for another week of Chicago Film Talk, talking local film, talking the community here. But before we get into that, I do want to update the Oscar bet that we have going on because, God forbid, we don't talk about the Oscars on a film-based show.
Right.
Connor, are you feeling confident?
No, I'm not. I think I'm going to lose.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I mean, we all knew that.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I think we could have foreseen that. I mean, if you think that The Post is going to win Best Picture, it's a shoo-in for disappointment. So,
Well, I saw some of the suggestions for films that the loser has to watch.
Uh-huh.
I liked a lot of them.
Yeah, Avatar The Last Airbender seems like it's going to have to be...
Yeah, the live-action version.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, we might have to make you watch that 7 days in a row.
Is that what I have to do? Is that what you're maybe going to have to do, but I'm probably going to have to do?
Yeah.
7 days in a row.
I'll personally buy you the DVD.
There were 7 movies suggested. Couldn't I just watch all 7 of those?
Maybe. But I'll decide.
Okay, you'll decide.
I'd kind of rather force you to watch the same movie over and over again and turn in like an essay or something.
Yeah, you would.
Tell me about the cinematic merits of, you know, that failed adaptation.
Maybe I'll make a video essay.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That'd be nice.
Just to prove that I've watched it 7 times.
I was really annoyed by the fact that Mother was on there. I loved that movie. Yeah, I thought it was great.
That was like an ironic, you know, ironic comment.
Well, I mean,
classic.
We are living in postmodern ironic America.
That's true.
You know, where anything goes.
Yeah.
But
In any case,
let's move to something a lot more interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're talking with a fantastic collective called Women of the Now, founded in Philly, but they are now based in Chicago, specialized in video and event production. They're creating content with female-driven narratives, and they're featuring strong, complex female characters. Joining us today, we have Lane Marie, Nandi, and Steph from Women of the Now. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you guys for having us. Hi.
So you have a event coming up on March 25th. It's the anniversary showcase for Women of the Now. Like I said, March 25th, 3 to 6 p.m., $10 a ticket over at the New 400 Theater, 6746 North Sheridan. Congratulations on a full year. That is huge.
Thank you.
Yeah, we're pretty excited, to say the least. It's been a long time coming. So,
yeah, absolutely. Especially with an organization that is featuring what we know is an underrepresented group, which is which is female and female identifying people. It's a revolutionary act to say, hey, we're going to do this specifically and feature not just characters in our work that are female or female identifying with strong complex characteristics, but also trying to, and I really like what you said in the about page of your Facebook, nourish those kind of content creators. So if you could tell us a little bit about yourselves and what your role is within Women of the Now.
So I'm Lane Marie Williams, so I'm the founder and executive director of Women of the Now. I also co-founded the Women's Film Festival in Philadelphia. So in a lot of ways, Women of the Now is like my love letter to the Women's Film Festival. We're actually about to have our 4th year. So March 15th through the 24th, we'll have the Women's Film Festival, and then Women of the Now is having its event March 25th. So because it's, you know, Women's History Month, it's definitely always the busiest month of the year for me. So lots of women, lots of film, all that good stuff.
I'm Nandi Mudiwa. I'm the Director of Events and Educational Outreach here with Women of the Now in Chicago. I've been with us for a year now. And in film production, I am a wardrobe stylist.
I'm Steph McDonald. I'm the director of media and marketing for Women of the Now, and I've been working in film production for the past 3 or so years and with Women of the Now since we started a year ago. I do a little bit of social media, a little bit of doing our events and stuff like that, and a little bit of cinematography and art department work.
Tell us a little bit about how Women of the Now came together. You said that it's founded in Philly but based here in Chicago. What's the history there?
So during the first Women's Film Festival, which took place March of 2015, the group of artists that I was working with at the time, when we were just kind of running around shooting films very like guerrilla style, which was kind of like my intro into filmmaking, we called ourselves Women of the Now. And actually, I realized this is actually kind of cool, and I need to go back and look at this film. But we made this like documentary style mythological narrative short film about sexual assault while I was living in Philly and before I moved here. And one of the main characters in it was a man of color, and he played like a pretty pivotal role within the film. And within the Stonebirds, there were like interview portions that were all real and authentic perspectives about sexual assault. And when he did his interview towards the very end of the film, he talked about his sister and like living in a world where he was nervous about like the health of his sister. He said Women of the Now. So he actually coined it. And then we just continued to say it like all the time. We would just be like, Women of the Now, Women of the Now, hashtag Women of the Now. And then when I moved to Chicago, it just came with me. And I wasn't really sure how yet. And I actually went through a phase where I was like, is this like inclusive enough? Is this a production company? Is this like, what is this? And I remember like having a very specific conversation with two of the women that I was working with in Philly at the time while living here, and I was like, should I keep this name? And they were like, yeah, keep it, do something with it. So
now that you've been doing this for a year, the goal of empowering and supporting the marginalized people in general has taken you from Philadelphia to Chicago. How have you acclimated to the city? How has it been? And obviously, you guys have been here for about a year each, right? Nandi and Steph?
I've lived here for 6 years, but been with the organization for one, yeah.
Okay. And how has it been? How has it been to organize this and get all of these people together?
Well, so I'm from Alabama originally, so hence the double name. So Bama to Philly to Chicago. I mean, I've traveled a lot. And so the adaptation from Philadelphia to Chicago was it's definitely very different, especially because I was just in Philly and came back like a week ago. And so, yeah, I mean, they're different. Like, the vibrational energy here in Chicago is so high. It takes a lot of self-motivation to get anything done. But I'm also an entrepreneur. So, like, what was the second part of that question?
How was it acclimating into the communities here and surrounding yourself with a team of people who are helping to, you know, realize your vision?
Yeah, I mean, it took time. It took time for me to find the right people. And now we're about a group of like seven, on the board at least. And then we bring in like affiliates as well and collaborators. So I've been living here for about 3 years now, and I definitely, you know, ran around with like different groups of people at first that I don't like really hang out with anymore. And then just kind of by happenstance met Steph and Nandi. Like, I think Steph and I communicated online first and then like became friends, and like we're showing up to a lot of the same events. And then Nandi saw my film.
Yeah, that's how I met Lane. I went to her Dollface premiere 2 years ago. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to work on this woman's next film. I don't care what she says. So I kept emailing her like relentlessly for months. And then we finally met up, and I was brought on to a production meeting for Scott Lee, which is our upcoming short film. And Lane was like, hey, do you want to maybe come to our production meeting for our launch party for Women of the Now? And I was like, yeah, sure, I'd love to be involved. And then like that pretty much set the rest of my year. So People are just drawn to the group and always want to contribute and stick around. And I think that's how most of us have found our way towards Women of the Now.
Mm-hmm. Nandi, you mentioned that you have been here for, you had been living here for about 6 years, mm-hmm. Before you joined Women of the Now. And Steph, how long had you been in Chicago?
I was born in the suburbs and moved to Chicago like 4 years ago. Okay. So I've been here my whole life.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nandi and Steph, tell us about, you know, being in Chicago for that extended period of time. How have you seen things change, not just in the world of film and media, but also Chicago itself? I mean, Chicago of 6 years ago, strangely, it feels like such a short period of time, but I feel like a lot has changed.
Yeah, Chicago's definitely grown a lot artistically. I think now that is kind of the main focus of like why people are paying attention to Chicago and why it's become the new kind of like mecca of film production and like music and so many different things, where so many TV shows are coming to Chicago, because a lot of people are seeing Chicago for like what it is and seeing that it has like a pretty dynamic like groups of people that live here. Really, it's just very different from like when you go to one part of Chicago to another. Like, you can come to the downtown area and see like all of this like beautiful architecture, or you can go to like other areas of Chicago and see different types of people that live down there. And it's just interesting that a lot of TV shows right now are like trying to portray Chicago, and there's like a lot of just film production happening all over the place. It's really like boomed a lot in the past, I'd say like year or two, as opposed to when we all started like 4 or so years ago here.
So it's a pretty fruitful place at the moment. Like, how does it feel? I feel like you guys have been putting in an investment at this point. It's coming to fruition. How's that feel to know that you've been putting in the work and now finally it's being recognized as a film city, a media city, an art city, as you said?
It feels really great. I mean, I feel like there's so many of us that have seen Chicago for what it is for so long. Like, there's so many of us that grew up here and knew that there's so many really, like, really, really talented artists that live here and, like, work out of here and are so focused on, like, just making sure people know that Chicago is more than like what the news portrays us to be, because everybody sees Chicago as being like a very violent city and stuff like that. But there's also just so many amazing artists that come out of here. And I think that's something that the media is really picking up on, and that a lot of people are coming to Chicago for. Like, people are leaving places like LA and New York to come to Chicago because it's the great middle ground, that it's like not as crazy busy as New York and LA. It's kind of like nice in between, where there's just as much work, but the people here are a lot friendlier and it's a lot easier to find work and get to know people, and it's on like a more personable level.
And it's still a relatively young notion, this idea of Chicago as an emerging film mecca, as you said. But there's always been these ingrained long-term art communities whose goals have always been to, you know, support the people who live here. And so how have you guys been supporting that idea of a long-term goal to support one another through your art?
I would say that we all really just try to support each other in our like own endeavors, like whether it's something like showing up to our friends' screenings or crewing up people for a passion project that one of us have. We just always will try to support each other, support our friends that are throwing events that are like benefit events or events for like their organizations and things like that. I just think it's really, really important to give back to people that are trying to give back to the community, because you need to show them that support in order to hopefully get that support also for Women of the Now.
Yeah, I think it's digging deep into our communities and like recirculating the like good opportunities that come our way, and like making sure that we're always uplifting each other, instead of like as soon as a great opportunity or resource comes, we like outsource it or like toss it to someone else that hasn't been working alongside us for as long, you know, putting in the hours and time and dedication.
Yeah, I think like at our core, I mean, we're all like the three of us and then the other six women that we work with. We're filmmakers and artists in our own right. And so we're constantly trying to make content and share that content. And like Steph and Nandi mentioned, you know, crew up any opportunities with one another. And I mean, filmmaking is a very collaborative process. You can do it alone, but like it's tough. So I think like by nurturing our own careers and elevating one another's careers, that also is focused into the bigger picture of just kind of trying to figure out like how can we make content but also give back to the community and, you know, elevate those filmmakers as well. So, you know, hence like things like the showcase. Yes, it's our 1 year anniversary and we're like super excited about that, but also let's give a platform to these filmmakers so that they can see their movies on a big screen, you know?
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that collaborative process and the creative process for Women of the Now. I was curious, what is that process of bringing on creators and filmmakers into this collective? How does the production process go? And then from there, how does the distribution or exhibition of it go from there?
I'd say we've been pretty event focused ever since we started. It's been like a process of fundraising for a short film, Scott Lee, that we are going to like crew up our entire Women of the Now friends and all of our like colleagues and stuff like that for, which is pretty exciting. But we have been super event focused for the past year and trying to make these like really awesome events, like with the film festival or like with our launch party and things like that.
Yeah, I think so. We kind of are the director of production on our board, Laura Day. So she and I had a meeting sometime like before we all got together before our launch party, and we talked about Scott Lee, this short film that we're already in pre-pro for. We've been in pre-pro for a while. It takes time to raise money. And, you know, I sat across from her at a table and we were like talking about like how we were going to make Scutley happen. And she said to me, we need to make Women of the Now happen. Like, we need to have some networking events and get some awesome press. And then from there, I think we'll be able to like raise the money so that we can make this film. So we kind of went into it with this intention to, you know, have these different kinds of events. Like I refer to our first year as the year of experimentation because we did everything. I mean, we had a burlesque show. We had, bar nights, camera workshops, a mythological themed event. I mean, we just did a lot of different stuff and we raised money and we lost money and we like learned some really hard lessons and we learned how to work together and how not to work together. And then finally, like, we're in a place now where we've totally got our funding for Scutley, but it took, you know, a year. I mean, we just got our full budget. So yeah, we've just been kind of through a variety of different kinds of events and like, you know, happenstance, like meeting people and being like, oh, you're a filmmaker too. What do you like to do? Oh, you like to art direct? Okay, cool. Like, come into one of our meetings. Let's like hang out and figure out where to put you and, you know, submit your film and we're having this camera. So it's all been like very interconnected and it's been really exciting.
Something we've noticed in some of our other interviews is the increasing importance of events, having an event management when it comes to running a very small film collective, film company, production company, what have you. Why do you think this is the way it needs to be now? Because previously it was, you know, try to find a few people to throw down money and then you run, go off running and then you get, I don't know, Evil Dead. That's how it was done a while ago. But now it's not spectacle, but creating something that people can engage with, something that people can recognize. Why do you think this is the way that seems to be the future?
I'd say our thing was we didn't want to just take donations from people. We wanted to give people like a really great experience, and we wanted to be able to be personable and like meet everybody that wanted to be involved with Women of the Now, whether they like bought a ticket to an event or whether they just like shared something that we posted on like social media or something like that. We want to make sure that we're very personable to everybody. We want to meet everybody that wants to be involved with us and just not make it just be a donation based thing for our film. We really wanted to like create these awesome events for people and show people what we're capable of and show people that like were maybe like questioning us, like, that yes, they do want to get involved. They do want to do these events with us.
I think meeting in person is way more effective. Like, the majority of our support has come from people that have attended our events and met and hung out with us and want to get involved because they see what we're about in person. They're enjoying the atmosphere that we create to, like, party in or network in. And then they get to talk with us and they see how warm we are and, like, inviting. And it's more about building the community And I mean, Women of the Now is for women in the industry. Mm-hmm. It's for women identifying people, and it's not just for us. So like, everything we do is for a much larger group, and we want that to always reflect that in our work. So just like asking for money isn't gonna do that.
I was reading a little bit about one of the events that you guys put on in 2017, Rise of the Fempire.
Yes.
And it does totally seem to me it's like a great encapsulation of that. Host these unique events, and unique is the key word in there, because you were bringing these people out, and what you could have done was just put up a screen and shown a movie and then had like a case of cheap beer there, you know. You could have done that, but what you guys did was you had terror readings, you had carnival games, you had fire eaters, you had these signature cocktails brewed for the event, and it was all towards your goal of, you know, empowering women and women identifying people. What has the community response been to these I don't want to say attempts, but these creative
endeavors?
There's another word, but that'll work.
Been very positive. Everyone, when they arrive into like a space we've curated, it's been like mesmerization and just like awe. And we always receive really supportive feedback. People talk about how much they enjoy our parties and like our events and like when our next one's gonna be, and we're like, oh, we're gonna take a breather. It's a lot, but it's been super supportive.
I think people do recognize the amount of effort that we have put into our events, because we know we've been to so many different film networking events and stuff like that, and we didn't want it to just be a bar where you just like network with people and hand out business cards and stuff like that. We just have such a great community of people that build like art installations, and we have such a great community of people, like people that read tarot, bartenders, just like a little bit of everything, that we wanted to encapsulate like, this is our community, we want to show you like what we are all about. And I think that's definitely what our first event did for us, and I think it showed people that we're serious and that we are more than just like a little group of gals just getting a bar together and selling tickets to our opening event.
Yeah, I want to stand out for
yeah.
sure.
I always joke like, this is not a sorority. This is a business. But yeah, I mean, I think there's really something to interdisciplinary events. I think it allows the audience to have this really interactive connection. And so to me, like, as I've, you know, as a writer and director, with my own screenings, there's always been an interdisciplinary event if I'm in charge of curating it at all. And so when Women of the Now really came to be, I felt like that was really important. So, you know, we've had events where we've featured, you know, theater, and we've featured live painting, and we've featured, you know, just you name it, we've done it at this point. And yeah, I mean, I would say like, it's been the response is definitely, people are like, oh wow, like that's really cool, like this is really needed. And as the climate in America, I think, has declined in some ways, people are really, especially right now, starting to realize that we're sincere in our pursuits, because that can be, I think that's the only tricky thing about like artistic business, is it's sometimes like people don't necessarily know right off the bat that like your heart is in the right place. So I think we've had to kind of stand our ground throughout year one, being like, no, like we're here and we're not going anywhere, and we want to support you, and we want you to support us too. So that's been kind of like a beautiful challenge within it all.
Yeah, and I can see why there might be people approaching this with a little bit of trepidation, in terms of, because it is such a toxic, noxious environment in this new frontier of American, you know, hatred, I guess, to put it bluntly.
It's pretty old as well.
And I'm glad that there is an organization. There are many organizations, but for you guys to have an organization where you can stand your ground and say, we're not going to go anywhere, we're safe for you, but come to us in your own time. You know, it seems like you're not asking for trust off the bat. You're saying, we'll show you what we do. And I really like the idea of action speaking a lot louder than words. And you've shown it time and time again with doing these events and showing the commitment. I want to ask and I'd like to hear from everyone on this. In your individual opinion, what makes film an effective medium for expression and change? Because I feel like with Women of the Now, it's not just it is expression on one level of saying these are underrepresented or sometimes even misrepresented identities, communities. But through the film, you might be trying to inspire change as well in people's perceptions of this. So let's go around the table here. And in your opinion, what makes it an effective medium for expression and change?
I would say what makes it an effective medium for expression and change is that film truly does make you feel something. If you watch something that is a truly good film or something that really resonates with you, it makes you just, I don't know how to describe it, what the feeling is, but it makes you kind of just like feel something where you feel, okay, I'm not alone. There's somebody that's going through the same thing that I'm going through, or there's somebody that can relate to on a note that you might feel like very alone on. And I think that is something that really stuck out to me about film and what made me passionate about it is that it's just a lot of people being able to tell their story and like just being able to make people feel a little bit less alone and feel like they can relate to somebody on a level that maybe they didn't know existed. And that they can show it through, like, a beautiful art form, whether it's through, like, cinematography or the writing or the acting in a film. There's just so many different ways to go about it. And it's just a feeling that I've personally never felt from anything besides, like, a really great movie or, like, a really great short or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's such a thoughtful medium. You know, you have to put so much thought into creating something that's visually recorded. And so the best movies, in my opinion, ask questions without you even really knowing it. Like, you walk away, like, thinking about something that you hadn't thought about before, or, like, seeing some kind of character that maybe you have brushed off in your personal life, or, you know, it just, it has such opportunity to change people. And that's, I mean, that's why I think I've been so drawn to it. In my own like artistic endeavors, because I like to affect people, you know. I want people to feel something, so it allows you to do that.
I think film is an effective medium for change because it's visual and it's so easy to get people to watch something as opposed to getting them to listen to another person talk or to read something. You know, everyone, it's easy to watch something and you can connect with what you see visually. And I mean, it's a great time to create new content because society itself is bored and tired of seeing the same narratives over and over again. Like, it really wants a change, and it's the perfect time to jump on board.
Yeah, I mean, we want to get rid of these old, I mean, even in moving out of independent filmmakers, even in the larger you know, film culture, Hollywood is starting to come around slowly, but starting to come around to this idea that even in its most business-like, cynical sense, diversity is good. It is good for business. It is, you know, Black Panther is on track to be one of the largest I think it already is one of the largest openings, mm-hmm. if not the largest opening. It's a massive hit, and speaking from experience as a theater worker, the amount of excitement and just flat-out joy from people going to see that movie, you know, for one reason or another, it was just, it was really affecting. Like, there were children who were looking up and finally said, hey, I see myself represented in this. And it doesn't preclude them from also loving Captain America or whatever, but it's nice to finally see someone say, like, hey, I could be this, even if it's, you know, a fantasy or whatever. Even with things like comedies, I know Girls Trip was a huge hit. And, like, I've even listened to conversations like, why isn't Girls Trip nominated for an Oscar? Because it was one of the most, it was super enjoyable. So many people went out to see it. It brought in a ton of money. And, like, it's, I feel like it's going to fade, even though it was, It was such a big hit, but it's going to fade in the public consciousness because Hollywood wants to keep a certain status quo despite this turn towards diversity. Do you feel that we're getting close? Are we getting closer to change, or is it just kind of face value on terms of like big business? Because I know at the ground level things are changing a lot, but up here it's so slow and it's taking forever.
I think a lot of good movements start with the trend. And right now it's trendy to be inclusive and diverse. But with the results of like these ventures into uplifting and giving platforms to people of color and minorities, I think it's going to stick because like everyone could witness how receptive we are to like seeing representation like that on the big screen. So I think it'll be more constant and will become the norm.
Yeah, and I think like there's more of us than there are of them. Mm-hmm. You know,
it'll as time goes on,
and I don't know. I feel like a lot of it is a product of that demographic not thinking about who their consumers are, and that just infuriates me. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's, you know, with people like Issa Rae and Jordan Peele. I mean, it's Ava DuVernay. I mean, it's happening. So I've got a lot of hope. It is slow, but I've got a lot of hope. And we're like very much like grassroots on the ground floor. But,
right.
You know, I'd like to think that in some little small ways that we're also like helping too, hopefully.
And I think it's those grassroots movements that the ground floor is where things start. You know, if you want to petition like billionaires and all this kind of stuff to make, you know, changes in terms of diversity, representation, all that sort of stuff, that's what takes forever. It's the work done by organizations like Women of the Now that changes hearts and minds and also uplifts hearts and minds right here, right now, as we're watching it happen. So I think, you know, don't ever discount yourselves because it's really cool what Women of the Now is doing.
I even think that grassroots movements within communities is a part of the future of film, because if you've looked at like ticket sales and stuff for these big studios, they're kind of diving. They're kind of taking dives, even though, you know, like Nandi said, the trend of increasingly diverse filmmaking is obviously doing better than these tired out tropes and these tired out narratives that we've seen over and over again. The industry is shrinking a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important that if you want to take people off of their couches, away from their myriads of streaming services, you've got to be doing events like this that the Women of the Now is putting on and coming up with innovative ideas in order to get them out so that people are being exposed to these new voices and being exposed to these new, you know, presentations of this media, which we're all so in love with.
Mm-hmm. One of the most important things I think about Women of the Now that I read in the mission statement was the focus on intersectionality, which is very much a topic that more and more people are becoming aware of. However, some people still are not able to wrap their heads around it, or they don't kind of get where it's coming from. Can you all tell us about Women of the Now's approach to inclusivity and intersectionality?
Take your time.
We're all just looking at each other like,
it is a big topic.
This one?
It's a big topic.
Yeah, I just want like a second to think about it.
Sure. Well, I'll say this. In a interview with the Chicago Reader, Lane Marie, you said the Women's Film Festival in Philly was inherently intersexual. It's intersectional. intersectional.
We'll put that in graphics later.
Yeah. But you said it was inherently intersectional, and that Chicago, you felt that you had to be more intentional with Women of the Now in terms of making sure that it was inclusive and also intersectional. Why can you tell me about why you felt that way, and does Chicago need to work on this?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm a person that has always surrounded myself with an intersectional environment. Like that's just how I'd lived my life always. So when the Women's Film Festival and Women of the Now came to be, it was just like, well, duh, like of course, you know. And I think like as a white woman, like I, as a cis white woman, I can definitely recognize that my voice in a lot of ways, like while it is important and it does matter, like I'm also just one perspective. And that's not, you know, that's not, rich enough. That's not like plentiful enough. So, you know, how do we add to that? And so I think, yeah, in Chicago,
We in a lot of ways we have had to be intentional. Just even like, you know, we've been doing some interviews for some positions lately on the board, and we've had to, you know, have conversations like, you know, let's make sure that we also try to find a woman of color for this. And one of the questions I know that we've asked during those interviews is the very question you just asked us, is like, what's your impression of intersectionality? And does it matter to you? Because if not, then like, this is not the crew for you. And so, yeah, I think with the Women's Film Festival, you know, I had lived there for 5 years and, like, you know, was constantly surrounded by artists. And I just had more time to kind of, like, make it so. And here, like, I was, like, the new girl on the block. I, like, showed up and was like, I made a movie. And then, you know, people like Nandi and Steph, we were just kind of, like, drawn to one another. But we have had to be intentional in moments, just with making sure that people's hearts are in the right place about that. Like, I think there are a lot of white women in the world that don't understand, like, what feminism really is. And so that's something I've had to, like, keep my eye on as, like, you know, the leader of this whole thing. It's like, how do I not police other people, but also, like, keep an eye on their intentions?
Yeah, my perspective working with the group, like, we are a very diverse board and we have a lot of different backgrounds and stories and experiences, but just like striving to make sure that Black and brown women know that we are a resource to them, because a lot of feminist groups that feature a lot of white women kind of not push away, but like they don't necessarily draw in people of color, and it's like, well, that's not for us, so I'm not going to really reach out or go to their events, or like I don't think that they support me the way I need in feminism. And that's been like my driving force, is to make sure that women of color know that we are there for them too, and that we want to support their work and uplift their art as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that, where it's really been our big thing to try to create that platform, because there are a lot of like women of color that are a little bit, don't quite fit in with like some of like the white feminist groups that are in Chicago that do have good intentions, but don't exactly
get it.
Yeah. Don't exactly get it. And we want to make sure that that people know that they are included in what we are doing, and that we want their voices to be heard, and that we want them to be included in our movement, like what we are trying to do. And that really has been our main focus, I think, for this past year, is making sure every woman or like femme identifying person has a voice and like can be involved with us if they choose to.
So Connor and I have talked to quite a few organizations focusing on underrepresented identities, full spectrum features. We've spoken with Eugene Sun Park from that. I've been lucky to speak with Amar Christian from OTV, formerly known as Open TV. What is all your feeling about the community in Chicago when approaching underrepresented identities, whether it be gender, sexual, or racial identities?
I mean, I think that we definitely go into it with a very open mind. I mean, we're a very young group, so we're constantly, you know, striving to, how can we, you know, work on our own shit, you know? Being from Montgomery, Alabama originally, I mean, I didn't just, you know, show up like being who I am today.
Right.
Like, that took time. So I think, like, yeah, we focus on, particularly in building content, like, is this a portrayal that we want to put out into the world that people can see? Like, the film that we're working on right now, our crew and our cast is, you know, we're definitely uplifting marginalized voices for sure. And so I think we definitely come into, you know, gender, intersectionality, you know, all of those kind of like buzzwords right now with, I'll say, sincerity again, you know, just wanting to go into it with a fair and like justice filled mind.
Yeah, it's not just about telling the stories of these people. It's about creating the space and then getting the hell out of the way and letting them tell their own stories, which hasn't happened until now. It's starting to happen in the industry, but that's our focus.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like this past year has been a lot of us kind of like learning a little bit more about like more organizations and companies that are focused on that. Like you're working a lot with, what is the company name? The TV?
What am I thinking? 3 a.m. Thoughts?
Oh, 3 a.m. Thoughts Productions?
No, I'm thinking of, I guess I'm thinking of something else, but.
TV.
Yeah, but we've been trying to like work alongside other, I guess, organizations or companies that are also focused on kind of bringing to light those voices that aren't heard and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we, as women, as, you know, also primarily women of color, too, on the board, like, we're going to just come into this already with a nuanced point of view. Because we've, like, got our, you know, we can relate.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are putting on events, you guys are producing movies, you're bringing underrepresented people into your collective. What is next for you guys?
Possibly spreading and branching out into other cities.
Really?
Yeah.
So moving from, I mean, is there talk about New York, talk about L.A.?
There could be talk of L.A.
I'm like, this is news to me.
You can speak in code if you would like to. If this is all breaking news.
I guess. Sorry.
I'll just be quick. I think it's like an understanding that like we're all going to like expand in our careers and we'll all move to different cities mm-hmm. through over time and stuff. And it's just like observing and deciding like how we carry Women of the Now with us and like how it becomes larger than what it is right now. So if we have branches in other states and if we can leave this to be a self-operating, is that the right term, in Chicago? I feel like that's a goal among all of us.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the showcase coming up on the 25th, so that'll be like a big deal, like, you know, our little 1 year. We're 1 year old. So we're excited about that. And then we've got a panel discussion called Take Talk that's about to start taking place, and it's going to be a series. So super excited. And it's going to feature like the big wigs, so to speak, of Chicago, just kind of discussing in an interactive way. Just kind of demystifying the process of filmmaking so that, like, you know, your average Joe come into this panel and, like, walk away and be like, huh, like, maybe I'll, you know, buy Final Cut and, like, mess around or something.
Sure.
So we've got showcase, panel discussion. We're going to do another bar event sometime in the near future. And then another, I'm actually going to be doing an acting on camera workshop with Camera Ambassador, where I'll be like directing people and helping them like with their acting skills on camera and how that translates. So, you know, just these very like community educationally driven type events we're finding are our sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, like in a big picture sense, I think we'll see what happens. I mean, Nandi's right. Like, I mean, I definitely, I'm sure we'll move somewhere warmer at some point.
Oh, come on.
I'm from the South, so I love the sun. So I think that Women of the Now at this point definitely has like roots and, you know,
a trunk now.
Yeah.
It's
a
trunk.
Yeah. We're a tree. We're a tree at this point, a small one, but we're a tree. And, you know, the Women's Film Festival, kind of like what I did with that is I got it sustainable enough to continue once I left. And so I just kind of like bop in and like make sure things are still happening and like mm-hmm. help lead the direction that it's headed in. But, you know, my main focus is Women of the Now. And so I think that if we can get it to a place where it can if there are a strong group of women that want to keep it going, like that, I could see that happening. I could also just seeing it become like a resource online ultimately, where filmmakers can go to it for recommendations or, you know, just inspiration or, you know,
crew
tutorials mm-hmm. on filmmaking. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities.
Well, and that's the fun part about it is that despite being, you know, you've done this for a year, which is a significant amount of time for anybody to be realistically doing anything this ambitious, you know, the sky's the limit from what I, this company does not need to be limited to doing one thing. And I think that's the best part about it, is that you can have branches everywhere and be supporting femme identifying people everywhere. And I'm very excited to see what happens next. I'm going to throw out this question because in preparing to talk to y'all, I just couldn't get this out of my mind. It was my elephant in the room. I don't know if listeners of the podcast know, but Connor and I are cis white men. And, you know, we try we try to do our best. Part of what we do on this podcast is try to educate ourselves and talk to people who know so much more about this. Thinking about women of the now and making content, films, shorts, what have you, with female-driven narratives featuring strong, complex female characters, I wouldn't say that we're incapable of understanding that.
Not incapable.
But we are, I mean, we have been the beneficiaries of a film industry that promotes straight white male narratives.
We've never struggled for representation.
Exactly. So I guess the question is, what can someone like Connor or I do to be better allies in this space and be more... be more aware, prescient of female-driven cinema?
Well, I think the fact that you guys just asked that question is a great start.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Check.
All right.
A-plus gold star in such a big way. Like, I don't think I've ever had a cis white man ask me that. So, like, you win. You win.
Thank you.
Finally.
We're doing our best.
Finally, we're winning.
I think a big part is, like, it bounces off what I said earlier, is, like, letting people tell their own stories and, like, just knowing when to not just invite someone to have a seat at the table, but to give up your seat at the table because you don't need to be at that dinner. Like, mm-hmm. it's just not your time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, someone would better tell a story or better even be more skilled at a certain project, and just like being like, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a step back. Let this person come forward. I have a recommendation for you. Like, I know they would be great in this role. Mm-hmm. I can go do a million other things.
Right.
And just, you know, moving out of the way. Not all the time, but just like knowing when it's time to step back.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I think what you guys are even doing right now is that you guys are bringing guests on that have a little bit different of a perspective than you and are doing something that you really respect and want to like learn about, and letting like people like us or whoever your other guests are on the show tell their story and like just let people that might not have been aware of our movement and like what we're trying to do, let them be aware and let them learn about your guests on this podcast, and just a little education.
Yeah, I think there's totally a way to build a platform and create opportunities and then get the fuck out of the way. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? There is, because I do a lot of that too. It's hard sometimes, you know, it can be, but like it's necessary. It's like what the world needs. And you know, things exactly like what you guys are doing right now is a great is like huge. Mm-hmm. Huge. Like, you're making a difference. You really are. But also, you know, supporting in little ways, whether that's like going and you know, supporting like events like what we're doing, mm-hmm. and just showing up, and showing up in a variety of ways, like whether that's like just sharing something online or like donating whatever you can, your time, your mm-hmm. money,
preferably the money.
Hey, I mean, that's all part of it. I mean, the fact that we're talking, I mean, I apologize because I consistently throughout the last hour or so referred to Women of the Now as an organization. It's not just it's a business. Mm-hmm. Y'all are running a business. And if you want to be part of this movement, it certainly doesn't hurt to put some money down.
Contribute.
I mean, yeah. We're talking about this event on March 25th. It's $10.
Yeah.
It's $10. So, you know, get on. It's not going to hurt you. Not only is it only $10.
And it's not going to hurt you.
Yeah. It's not going to actively hurt you.
Yeah.
You're going to a local theater, independently owned. Supporting, you know, a fantastic business that is going to show you some things that you maybe never have seen before, never would have seen otherwise. So it's about expanding horizons. And thank you so much, all of you, for joining us today to help us expand our horizons and hopefully, you know, for some of our listeners, this might be preaching to the choir, and I hope this is.
I hope it is.
You know, I hope more people already know about it. But if this is your first time hearing about these kind of grassroots movements, I hope that you have learned a little something today. Again, that's Women of the Now Anniversary Showcase, March 25th, 3 to 6 p.m. It's $10 over at the New 400 Theater, 6746 North Sheridan. I've heard it's a pretty good place.
Yeah. I gave it a 5-star review.
On Facebook. Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate you, man. Lane Marie, Nandi, and Steph from Women of the Now, thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. You've been listening to No Coast Cinema here on WGN Plus. We are your guide to cinema here in the city of Chicago and sometimes all around the world.
Occasionally.
I'm Tom Hush.
I'm Connor Cornelius.
And we'll see you next time.